The Providence College Friars.
Will the party ever end tonight, downtown Providence?
The Big East.
23 points.
And the rest of the college hoops world.
You know that. The party will not end.
This is the Providence Crier Podcast with your host, a PC grad standing in at 4 feet tall. He is the Providence Crier himself, Mike Zarek.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Providence Crier Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Zarek, the Providence Crier. Follow me on Twitter. That's at Providence Crier. Read our blog, theprovidencecrier.com. Join with me, as always, we have BOC in the house. Follow him on Twitter at BOC all day. Today is Monday, May 13th. In BOC, yesterday was Mother's Day. Shout out to all the moms out there. But it was also a big day for the Friars as they land 2025 forward Jameer Jones out of Oak Ridge, Florida. Composite ranking for 24/7 Sports has him as the 22nd rated recruit in the class of 2025. ESPN has him as high as 16. So BOC, massive addition for the Friars here. What were your takes of the news? That was kind of expected, but now that's finally here.
So tell a quick story. My wife didn't appreciate when I said happy Jameer Jones Day to her on Mother's Day.
Oh no.
if looks could kill, I would be 6 feet under right now. But no, it was a nice little surprise on Mother's Day. As you said, Providence has been the leader for a while. I think going back to when he visited, I believe it was in November of this past season. And he's just, there's been a ton of love being shown on social media. He's actually said that was one of the things that jumped out with the commitment is the fan base. So everybody keep doing what they're doing. I think this says a couple things. We are at the point where the fan base, I think, can say Kim English can go up against any program in the country with a recruit. And yes, he's going to lose some battles. Probably he's going to lose more than win because that's just the state of recruiting. But he can go up against any program in the country, and Providence fans can feel confident with him and his staff's recruiting abilities. This wasn't a Jameer Jones from Connecticut, from Massachusetts, from Rhode Island. This was Jameer Jones from Florida, who we beat out. Who knows the level of interest from these schools, but we beat out at Kansas. We beat out Ohio State. We beat out Houston. We beat out LSU. So it was a massive win on a couple levels. Excuse me. It was a massive win on a couple levels because Providence is a far ways away from SEC country, and English was still able to get this win. So that's a great win in and of itself. It's great to say about the program and Kim English's recruiting chops. The bigger thing is this 2025 class. You've talked a lot about the five-star bump. This 2025 class has two, depending on how you look at the industry or composite rankings, two borderline five-star recruits in Jameer Jones and Oswin, and we're in really great shape for Jalen Harrell, who's deciding at the end of May, as well as some other backcourt players in the 2025 class. So this class, even if they had nobody else, it's going to be a top 20 nationally ranked class at worst. It's probably going to be higher when the rankings come out. As of today, I think they're number one in 2025, but that's because not a lot of players have committed. But in total, this is a massive win for them. Just because we've been the leader for a good amount of time, don't let that cloud the fact that this was a massive, massive win. Jameer Jones is a one and done and two and done type player. Providence doesn't get these recruits often, so we should celebrate this because it's a massive win for the Friars.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anytime that you can land, a top 20-ish player in any class is a really good thing, right? Let's get to a few of the quotes here from Jameer Jones' commitment when he was on with Joe Tipton. You know, he said the loyalty of Coach English and the coaching staff, he wouldn't want to trust any other coaching staff to get me where I want to be, which is the NBA. Everything those guys have been telling me sounds great, and I'm just ready to work hard and do what I do to reach my goal. One thing that I kind of feel like had to play a big role in this would be the development of Devin Carter into a, you know, a surefire first round pick at this standpoint. You know, that stuff matters in showing that Kim could take a guy that, you know, if we're being honest, going into the season, it was like looking second round, maybe undrafted. Maybe he's a guy that goes the year after to being, you know, a surefire first rounder, a guy that's going to hear his name potentially in the lottery. I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a very big deal. The Devin Carter effect is alive and well, and the draft lottery just came out. And I think there might be a chance he sneaks into the top 10, honestly. He might be a surprise. But anyway, that's not why we're talking here. I think English has, you know, played in the league. He's shown he can develop Carter into a pro. I think we'll see probably Hopkins be a first or second round pick next year if he continues to develop his three-point shot and comes back with full bill of health. This program is leveling up in terms of who they're recruiting, who they're landing. And this is all a caveat with, we haven't even had postseason success with English. So if we make a deep run, you can imagine the recruits that are going to line up for Providence, because they're doing this on not necessarily blind faith, because I think given the injuries and everything, I think maybe English met expectations or potentially even exceeded expectations last year when you think about everything that transpired with the team. So it's not blind faith, but he hasn't proven to be a winner yet at the D1 level. A winner, when I say like postseason success in the NCAA tournament. So if he does that this year, which I think he will, I think the floodgates are going to open even more. But again, this is really a unique territory. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. Like, Cooley had that bump when he landed Dunn and Lido. And I think Dunn was the more impressive recruiting win than Lido, because Lido, I think some blue bloods kind of backed off a little bit because of academic issues, which proved to be valid. But he just won a five-star wing, an NBA-type player from freaking Florida. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge, BOC, and, you know, he's a guy that gets me really excited. Friar fans, if you haven't watched any of the tape, I suggest you do so. You know, 6'6", ton of athleticism, BOC, plays above the rim. You know, he's developing to be a good shooter as well. To me, it reminds me of when Providence landed Jalen Lindsay. Now, if you remember, Lindsay, I think he was as high as the 20s early, I think summer going into his senior year, and Providence landed his commitment. And like when you watch the tape of him, you know, at least I remember the high flying dunks and the shooting. Granted, you know, I think ball handling was a little bit of an issue for him to be the player that he was expected to be, but he was still certainly a useful player for the Friars. But in terms of watching the tape, like, that's what gets me really excited about Jameer Jones. And also, when you look at his tape, he does have instances of beating a guy off the dribble and finishing at the rim. So, you know, he could be one of the most talented players in college once it's all said and done.
He, and for people to hear Mike say that, you know, I think maybe your natural reaction is like, oh, there's the Providence crier bias, right? Like, Mike might not be off there. Like, he's ranked as a five-star. He may actually be one of the best players in college basketball. Again, let's really emphasize, and again, COVID year is ending, the extra year eligibility is ending. It's going to be a really rapid roster overhaul for a lot of programs because so many people are losing their like freaking fifth or sixth year of eligibility. So college basketball is going to get a lot younger after this year. And I know he's enrolling shortly thereafter. Jameer has the chance to walk in day one. And one of the things we wrote about in our article, and if you haven't, take a read of the article on the Providence Crier. One of the great things is we don't need him to come in day one and be Superman. We have a ton of depth at the wing spot. We'll say the two three. I think he's going to slot in as a 3-4 in the English offense, but he's going to come in competing for minutes against Ryan Mala, Corey Floyd Jr., Justin Fernandez, Dickie B. Am I missing anybody? I don't think so.
No, those would be the guys.
That's going to be really good competition. A lot of those guys have 3 to 4 years of experience in college. So the starting spot in the starting lineup's not going to be handed to him. He's going to have to earn it. So if he does get his minutes, it's going to be because he's that great of a player, because the depth at the wing is in a really, really nice place right now. So you're starting to see the high-level recruiting aspect of Kim English, the ability to retain talent of Kim English, and building a program, which he did in a massive way this past offseason and last offseason too, with getting Barron, Mala, Fernandez. So the puzzle pieces are all starting to come together. But this commitment, along with Osmond's commitment, completely raises the floor and the ceiling for this team.
Yeah, and let me give you a quote, a scouting report on Jameer Jones, rather, from Jameer Jones himself. This is how he describes his game, and I'll get your reaction here. One word, dog. Literally, the dog mentality I play with separates me a lot. I'm a willing passer and love to get my teammates involved. I put pressure on the rim. Rim attacker is the best thing I do, and I can knock down shots. It's only going to get better from here.
Confident man.
That's right.
That's somebody who knows how good he is. And I think having that mental aspect of your game is really important. And he has obviously the physical aspect down. He's already built like a NBA wing, honestly. He'll put on some more muscle, but he's going to come in day one physically ready to play.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if you remember what Kim English said, in that presser after UConn last regular season game of the year, what was one of the things that he wanted on the recruiting trail, BOC?
Well, he wanted 13 dudes, but I think he wanted some dogs too.
Oh, yes. Dog was one of the traits he was looking for in future Friars. Jameer Jones certainly seems to have that. Again, if you watch his tape, just his ability to attack the rim with authority. So
we think he's going to stay 2025, right? No chance he reclassifies, like kind of like the rumors we're hearing with Osmond.
Yeah, I mean, I know that was a rumor with him as well. But to me, from the sounds of what he said when he committed, I believe he said something along the lines of, this will give me a full year to kind of let them coach me while I'm still in the high school ranks and help me prepare better for college. So to me, that sounds like a guy that would be staying in 2025. Obviously, the Friars do have one open spot there as of right now. We'll kind of monitor throughout the summer what they plan on doing with that, whether it is Oswin. But as for Jones, it sounds to me like 2025 will be the year that he comes.
Yeah. And just going back to stylistically where he'll play, I think where you think he slots in at that, the 3-4 spot, I think he could.
Yeah.
Like Hopkins, despite him being an incredible rebounder, height wise, he's not that big of a dude. Like he,
no.
Jameer can play that 4 spot, no problem.
Yeah, he could, but I think, primarily he'll be used on the wing at the 3. I think that's where they'll slot him as, to be honest. But obviously, time will tell with that sort of thing.
Yep.
But yeah, man, I mean, as you said earlier, just an awesome way to start the 2025 recruiting class. It's shaping up to be one of the best in the country. And then you couple that with, the work that Kim and staff have been able to do in the transfer portal. I mean, the future with the Friars right now is super bright. And that's awesome to see.
I'm just a little bit perplexed though with this commitment, given that all we do is land 3 stars and develop them, right? That's like that was the recruiting narrative. That's why our coach left. That's why Cooley left and went to Georgetown, because you couldn't land 5 stars. And apparently,
yeah, so
And apparently the national media just followed suit with that and tried to bury Providence.
Yeah, so I, you know, I had a few people reach out to me after the tweet that I had of Ivan Thomas saying that they couldn't get 5 stars in Providence, and that they developed 3 stars to be able to play with the 5 stars. I had a few folks reach out, like, how did you make that video? Like, that was amazing. So basically, you know, we've been reading the tea leaves on this, and, you know, if you just follow along, you could tell that Jahmyr Jones was leaning Providence. And so, like, for me, I remembered the quote. So I found the video, saved it. And I was like, cannot wait to tweet this thing once we land Jones. And I was like, this could be better. This could be better. So we did some editing and got the Crier logo in there and the curb theme. I thought it fit well, BOC.
Well, the most ironic thing is they basically told on themselves that they couldn't recruit elite talent. That seems like more. And then with Kim English doing it easily. So taking a step back, Jahmyr Jones and Oswin, besides Lido and Dunn, would be the two highest recruits to ever sign with Providence under Cooley and now English as well. So in one offseason, you know, English has already matched what Cooley's done in terms of like 5 stars or like elite talent. And then the more ironic thing is, have you seen them sign a 5-star at Georgetown yet?
No, I believe Sorber is the highest guy that they've landed, and he's like 40s, I think.
So right now I'm looking at him. I have it pulled up. The 24/7 composite has him at 42. So he, again, great land, awesome land. He would be behind, significantly behind Jahmyr and Oswin.
Yeah. So, like, listen, let's play devil's advocate here for a second. Like, okay, so Cooley was able to land, you know, Ricky Lato and Chris Dunn when he first got the job. And listen, I've been on record of saying it. Like, when a new coach comes in, you kind of get those juices and those momentum going, and you have the ability to land higher rate of recruits. So let's say that's what this is right now. You know, could there be a chance that during Cooley's tenure, he felt like towards the end, it was harder to get those guys? And could that be the case here? Maybe, but here's what I'll point to. Kim English's intro presser at Providence a little over a year ago now, you know, he said, we have all we need here to develop a consistent winner, a team that competes for national championships. And he's dead on. I mean, you know, we've talked about the pluses that Providence offers as a program. One, the facilities are really good. And sure, maybe that's might not be the selling point it once was. But, you know, they've proven to become a team and a program that can get to the NCAA tournament with regularity. It's when you look at Providence, it's the city's number one attraction. Like we've said this before, like Providence basketball is probably the most professional sports organization the state of Providence has. And that stuff matters. Like you're the number one show here. And I think Providence can really separate themselves like a Villanova, like a Gonzaga, which is in freaking Spokane. Like, come on, that's not like a ton of fun in Spokane. But like they can carve out that role as being a program that's totally basketball centric, and guys are going to want to play.
Ironically, Cooley departing on bad terms may have galvanized this fan base and the program in ways he couldn't do as a head coach. And there's a lot of irony in that.
I mean, listen, I've said that kind of from the moment he left, right? Like when I had those therapy sessions on Twitter Spaces discussing the departure of Ed Cooley. And we've kind of talked about that as the, you know, the year plus has gone on here. Like, hell yeah, it got the fan base to totally rally around each other in the program. And, you know, I think absolutely Kim can take this thing to new heights. So
I think there's an assurance that Providence at worst is going to be a top half of the Big East program year in, year out under English. And I think, you know, that's the worst case scenario. I think it's going to become a battle with, you know, McDermott, with Hurley for top dogs in the Big East. I love the way that we're trending right now. I think this upcoming year is going to be special, and to have reinforcements coming in like Oswin and Jameer Jones, it's we're recruiting at a level I'm not used to. Even when we were landing Lido, Dunn was an awesome land, but even when we landed like Lido and then even Duke Jr., that was like, oh, another local guy. So, you know, it's a really, really bright future in Providence. And don't let the fact that we were quote unquote leading for Jameer mask how important this win was, because it's a really big win. And he's the type of guy that, to your point, can take over a basketball game, maybe even as a true freshman, but he won't be spending a lot of time in college. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, all right. So we kind of spoke about some 2025 guys that, you know, could be on the Friars' radar and possibly next to commit. I know you put out the 2026 recruiting article on the blog. If you haven't checked that out, go ahead and do so. What were your thoughts on that, Josie?
Support for this episode of the Providence Crier podcast is brought to you by Fox Hill Wealth Management, a fiduciary investment company. Are you struggling to plan for retirement and other life events? Do you need help investing your savings? Well, look no further than Providence College graduate Eric Benz, along with his team of financial advisors and certified financial planners. You can gain peace of mind knowing your finances are in expert hands at Fox Hill Wealth Management. Take control of your financial future today. Visit them at foxhillwealth.com to get started.
So I'll give some thoughts there, but just note, you've gotten some really good news on Oswin and Jameer Jones. Like, the 2025 class is far from over. Jalen Harrell, a wing from Massachusetts, is deciding on the 27th of May, and we are at worst co-leaders. I feel really good about where we stand. And if we are to land Harrell, that's a 4-star top 100 recruit. And in most years under Cooley, he would be the crown jewel of that recruiting class. But he would be in the 2025 class, the third ranked recruit, which is a testament to what English is doing. And then we're also going to, I think, get some more clarity on point guards in the 2025 class. Now that we've gotten this Jameer Jones win, we have the Oswin win, Harrell's deciding soon. So we're going to start to see who the staff is going to prioritize. And that's going to be fascinating to see, because if you're a point guard, you have a rim running big who can, you know, jump through the gym. You have an attacking slashing wing, and you potentially can add a sharp shooting threat in Harrell. Like, who would not want to be the lead guard for that? So that the plot line around point guard is going to be really captivating to me. So to get to your 2026 comment, we have the article out on the Providence Crier, the blog. The thing that jumps out to me is, I don't know what the heck they're feeding these kids. These kids look like grown men as like freshmen and sophomores in high school. They're like 6'10", 300. You know, it's crazy to think about that these kids are 15, 16 years old. But beyond that, a lot of talent in the Northeast that we're targeting. There's some overtime elite talent that we're targeting. It's early, and some DMV talent. So it's early, but the fact that we have so many offers out is a good thing, because English is early, and it has shown to be effective with the commitments we've gotten in the 2025 class.
Yeah. So, Providence actually had a few bigs for 2026, on campus prior to the Jameer Jones second visit, right?
Yep. Yeah, a kid from two Jersey guys, which, you know, I love. One from Roselle Catholic, where Corey Floyd Jr. played. Another one from Don Bosco Prep, which, athletics aside, that's kind of a feeder school, Don Bosco, to Providence, like the students itself. So it'd be nice. And they built quite a basketball reputation up in Don Bosco, as well as Roselle. So it'd be nice to start getting some pipelines there to the private Catholic schools in Jersey.
Yeah, so those names are Marcellinus Daniel Ikechukwu, and Kiner Asprall, right? Am I getting those right? Okay.
Yep. That was all right. You did a good job. those two guys fit the, like, how the heck are they 15 or 16, however old they are? They're monsters. Can we talk about, I think both of us have the same favorite recruit in the 2026 class, right? Marcus Ponder, the Big Show.
Oh, yes. Yes. The Big Show. How could I forget?
He is. I forget what he's listed at on 24/7, but I believe he is, one, his nickname is the Big Show, which is just fantastic. And I believe 24/7 has him at 6'11", 330 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, if he goes elsewhere, that's fine. But I'm excited for a guy like the Big Show to be in college basketball, because, you know, you watch that guy's tape, and he's electric.
So you heard it here first. If he commits to Providence, the two people who have started the Marcus Ponder Big Show bandwagon to Providence are BOC and Mike at the Crier here. So that's I think he's the leader in the clubhouse right now for our favorite recruit in 2026.
Definitely.
You know, you can't teach 6'11", 330 as a 15-year-old.
No, you cannot. You certainly can't. All right, so I guess we'll kind of wrap on some other kind of news and notes around college hoops in PC. One thing of interest is Creighton. Creighton scheduled to play in the Battle for Atlantis this upcoming November as their MTE. And they're pulling out of it, POC. They are removing themselves so they can compete in this new Vegas MTE that I spoke about on not last part, because that was Coach Tomlinson, but the pod prior to that, I'd mentioned about the NIL MTE where the schools are going to get $1 million for their NILs to participate. It was rumored that there was a Big East team that would fill that eighth spot, and that will be Creighton for 2024. It's an event that they plan on doing next year as well, and expanding 16 teams. But Creighton now out of the Battle for Atlantis, and rumor has it that the organizers of that MTE are looking for another Big East program to replace Creighton. BOC, you are, if you were in charge, you already called Mohegan and told them no. Am I correct?
They listened to the podcast. They heard my terms. They were hard terms. It was a hard bargain, and they understand that. So Creighton was the middleman, went and did Vegas for me, did me a solid. And now Providence, you know, let's see what happens. But we have the propensity of recording a podcast and then an hour later news drops. So by the time this is out, Providence might be like that team in the Battle for Atlantis. But all jokes aside, I think the Mohegan MTE may have been a way for English and staff to get a couple games that they should win comfortably in a neutral site, which is actually like a home site, because we know Providence will have the most fans there, because they didn't know what their roster was going to look like. Now that we know that our roster is pretty talented, I would say, I don't think we would go to Atlantis and make, you know, throw up on ourselves. I think we would be very competitive in that tournament. And it would be a nice way to build the non-conference resume. So who knows what the heck happens? We're just speculating. We don't have any inside info. But it would satisfy me, and it would be incredible. They listen to the podcast and we go on Atlantis. There'd be nothing more.
Oh man. Listen, I could get used to going to the Bahamas every November. I'm not going to lie to you. Granted, I've said, and I will continue to plead my allegiance to the Hoopall tournament. I think it's a fun tournament. Granted, this year's field might not be as flashy as ones prior, but it's a fun time to get the Friar fans organized at Mohegan BOC. I'm telling you, you would enjoy it. But, you know, to kind of feed into the speculation here. Right now, the field for the battle for Atlantis is Arizona, Davidson. By the way, Davidson changed their logo. It looks terrible. Gonzaga, Indiana, Louisville with new coach Pat Kelsey coming over from College of Charleston. OU, who we were familiar with last year. The Friars made a trip to Norman. Fortunately, they were not victorious. And then West Virginia, who also is under new leadership. Dan DeVries, I think. I don't know. Son Tucker, I know he's on the team. The Drake coach making the move over to West Virginia. So, yeah, I mean, that would definitely – that's a tournament that has higher profile names. Obviously, you know, I think Arizona, Gonzaga, and IU were expected to be really good. Louisville is a massive rebuild on their hands. But Kelsey seems like a guy that can rejuvenate that. But yeah, like it's a more of a name brand tournament, no doubt about it, with the field this year. But I definitely think it'd be one that Providence would be able to compete in if they were to make a pivot and pull out of Mohegan and go to that one. Although BOC, I will say, it sounds like Creighton's gotta pay a little hefty fine to the folks at Battle for Atlantis for pulling out this late.
Do you know the numbers or not?
I don't know, but they have to pay to get out of it. I do know that.
As they probably should, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Providence would have any propensity to kind of pull out of Mohegan and participate in the Battle for Atlantis. But obviously that's far down the pipeline. And we'll see if that ever even comes to fruition. But want to shout out Tyler Kolick, BOC. He has graduated. I don't know if you saw this. He graduated from Marquette over the weekend and tweeted a photo of himself in cap and gown on Instagram with the caption, "I can read." So congrats to Tyler. He can read. He did it.
He leaned into that. That was really funny.
Let's see. What else, BOC? Any news that kind of piqued your interest?
No, I don't know if we talked about Kadari going. Well, actually, we did talk a little bit about Kadari going to St. John's. So never mind on that. But St. John's has put together a really nice backcourt and wing and backcourt slash wing and Smith, Richmond, and Luis. Their front court, they got the kid from USC who's a big man, but he's really raw. So they put together a formidable squad. I think they'll be top half of the Big East as well. But no, I think we have everything covered up to date here.
All right. Well, Friars get the big commitment in Jameer Jones. Things are looking up. Until next time, Firetown, we'll see you later.
See you guys. Man up in my city on this roof, yeah. David Duke when I'm way above the hoop, babe. Cross over, I might throw the alley-oop. Heard they sleeping on me, well, let's take them back to school. PC, you know we on go, ayy. Feel like AJ Reeves when I'm off that pick and roll, ayy. Fall down, bounce back like Emmett Hope, ayy. I'm the alpha dog, Diallo. They was sleeping on me, that's what made me a savage. Anything we bump into, we gon' let them have it, yeah. They don't want no static, we at the top just like the attic. This year we taking over March Madness. Man up in my city, I'm the truth, yeah. David Duke when I'm way above the hoop, babe. Cross over, I might throw the alley-oop. Heard they sleeping on me, well, let's take them back to school. Man up in my city, I'm the truth.